out, and I could see that the star was lined up, and the moon was at its last phase. Just a sliver was there, okay? And then this morning, it was all dark. So there's the waiting period, and then the first sign of it is when we ought to be. So that's why it's multiple days, so we can catch it right. So if you'll take some time to be observant in the morning, get up early before the sunrise, and look toward the east and see. Because it'll be toward the east, and you'll start to pick up on, okay? So take some time and be observant. So this is the time that he says it's a Moedim, it's Yom Teruah, a day of trumpets, or the Feast of Trumpets. The Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets, or the Day of Awakening Blasts, or the Feast of the Watchmen. It's time to be aware. It's what he's telling us. Be aware, be on the alert, because it's the time that Yeshua is going to return. Who wants to be rehearsing this? Aren't you thankful that God gave us information, understanding, that we can be rehearsing this time? I want to be rehearsing. It doesn't make no difference what year he comes to me. I'm going to be rehearsing when he comes. I pray to God I got that 12-minute thing on, and all of a sudden the tape ends and he just keeps on going. I want to be with my posture toward him, giving him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. What does the scripture say about it? Let me give you just the scripture, because I got to give you this just because we're doing it. We can't do it because we just want to do it. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23 to 25. And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month. What month? The seventh month. On the first day of the month. Now, this is the only feast that happens on the first. So that's something that you can take note of. It's the only one that happens on the first day of the month. The rest of them happen at various times. But this is the only one that happens on the first day of the month. You shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with a blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, some of these things don't apply to us because the offerings have been provided for us. I mean, thank God for that. That offering is Christ. It's been provided for us. So there's so many things that makes it a better covenant, right? I'm sure it would be tasking for all of us to be trying to offer a sacrifice right now. But does it mean we quit praising him? Does it mean that we don't make this a memorial? I don't know how you would even come up with something like that. Yet the church found themselves exactly in that position. We've become more observant of pagan system than we do of the things of God. And for that we repent. And we ask God to forgive us, because we never want to be doing that. Numbers chapter 29, verse 1 through 6, on the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets, and you shall offer an burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord, one bull for the herd. From the herd, and one ram, and seven male lambs, a year old without blemish. So that would have been your task without Christ. That would have been quite the task. But they were to do that. Also their grain offerings, a fine flour mixed with all 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 of an ephah for the ram, and 1/10 of an for each of the seven lambs, with one male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering and the new moon and his grain offering and the regular burnt offering and his grain offering and their drink offering according to the rules for them for pleasing aroma, a food offering to Yahweh. And so these were just some things. I covered a lot of this last year. When is it? And so we give you in the seventh month on the first day of the month. Now, this is something that's been hijacked. If you're going to follow the Jewish calendar, which I don't recommend, because they're going to keep Rosh Hashanah. That's what they're going to keep. What is that? What's Rosh Hashanah? That's a new year. That's not the Bible. That's made up. That comes from Babylon. So we don't celebrate Rosh Hashanah because this is not a biblical new year. What month are we in? The seventh month. That's not the new year. Right? Do we have a feast in the first month? Who wants to take a shot at which one it is? The feast in the first month. On the first month. Passover. See, that's a trick question. Passover, right? So, the lamb on the 10th. Keep it 4 days. 14th of the first month. So, that would be the Bible New Year. Not now. How many understand that we have a new year and the Jews have a new year called Rosh Hashanah? And they'll celebrate it. They'll celebrate Rosh Hashanah. It's not the time we're doing it because it's a little off. But they'll celebrate it as a Jewish new year. It's not the scripture. That's why we... Why don't we just do what he says? Do Yom Teruah on the seventh month. See, sometimes we think we just got to add something. Make it more spectacular because God's just not spectacular enough. And that's how things just go off. Yom Teruah is the only appointed time that falls on the first day of the month or the new moon. All Moedims and new moons are to include a blast of trumpets. So is it the only time we blast a trumpet? No, you can do them for all the feasts. But this one is called the Feast of Trumpets. So what are we commanded to do? Number one, keep it holy as a regular Sabbath, doing no servile work or things associated with the seventh day Sabbath. So is it different from the seventh day Sabbath? It is, but it's a high holy day, which means it's an addition to that. So is it called a Shabbat? Well, it is called a Shabbat, but it's different from the seventh day Shabbat. That's how they would know that. Keep it at all times and seasons on the first day of the seventh month. Number three, have a holy convocation. This is a calling of the assembly or community of like-minded believers to assemble together and celebrate this memorial of blowing trumpets. If no one is able to convocate, then call together your own family or travel to where another group of believers are assembling and keep this holy day. Thank you for being here. That's why we're doing this. Because we should assemble. It's a holy convocation. It's a calling of the assembly. And it's the Joel 2 assembly call. Everybody, babies, mama, daddy, little ones, all everybody together. That's how serious it is. If you have time, I won't take the time to do the Joel 2, but I tell you what, I have it in the series here. Take some time to read it. It's powerful. But you'll see all of it lines up. Number four, make a memorial blowing trumpets. The Hebrew word for memorial is zekaron, which means a reminder or remembrance. The act of blowing trumpets is to be a reminder or a calling to remembrance. What are we to remember? We are instructed to remember the different sounds of the trumpet in the shofar, and that we will know what to do when the commander of the heavenly host gives his marching instructions. How many want to know what to do when you hear the trumpet of God? I want to know what to do. Different sounds meant do different things. Some meant get ready. The enemy's approaching. Some meant get ready. We're going to get ourselves prepared for atonement. All the sounds meant something, and the people had to know that. They couldn't send a text out. We sent a text out, right? But they blew the trumpet. They blew a shofar, and people knew what to do. Listen, if you got over 1 million people gathered together, and you're not talking to the other guy on the other end. He don't even know what your conversation is on your end. But when that trumpet sounds, they know if it's a battle cry. Let me tell you, they know exactly what to do. They get themselves ready. They pick up the women and children and the men that are for battle. They get their armor and they're ready to go to war. And they did it many times, Israel, many times. And the times that they lost is when they weren't preparing themselves for the battle alarm. They weren't ready. But when they were ready, nobody could beat them. And they feared them. They feared them when they marched through the land. So I just wanted to run a couple of these things by you. The trumpets. There are two different instruments represented in the feast trumpets. A silver trumpet, which represents these. He said, I want you to have two silver trumpets. I want you to beat them out. So there'll be two silver trumpets. And then one shofar, or there could be multiple shofars, but he talks about the shofar, which would be represented here. It's a ram's horn, and it makes a certain sound, different from the silver trumpets. Silver trumpets would be blown to do something, and the ram's horn would be blown to do something. They were all through the camp. And so this was important times. Now, just the fact that we've set this table makes people a little uneasy. When we got visitors. And that's crazy to me. Because the moment you set a table like that and get, you know, you get this look right here and they go, oh boy, they're going back. I kind of look at it like getting with it rather than going back. But there's a fear. And you know what I notice the fear is? It's in the church. And then the fear is so great that the church would then turn around and shoot their own people. Because what do we fear? And listen, if it's the truth, then it will remain. But I don't want to find out that what we done was not what Yahweh required of us. What He requires is what we want to do. And so listen, I've been doing this for a while and been studying this. You think I want to give up my Savior? Yeshua HaMashiach, I love Him. I praise Him. I honor Him. I thank Him. Every time I say, thank You for dying for me. I'm not giving that up. Thank Him for the price that He paid for me. But I would be a dishonor if I wouldn't look at the entirety of Scripture and do what God has asked me to do. And I don't want to do that. So it's a tough spot sometimes. Two silver trumpets. Numbers 10, the shofar, the ram's horn. We can see the two instruments in Psalms 98, verse 6. With trumpets, silver trumpets, and the sound of the cornet, the shofar, make a joyful noise before Yahweh the King. So he says that we do that for worshiping Him. Numbers 10:10, on the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am Yahweh your Elohim. I am the Lord your God. And so hopefully we'll understand all of these things. The phrase translated to a blast of a trumpet is from the word teruah, which is where the name of this originates. Yom is day, and teruah is blast, a blast of a trumpet. Or the day of shouting, or the day of trumpets, a day of shouting. Think about that. The appointed days exist to teach us about what the Messiah has done or will do in the future. There is not a lot to prophetically go on in Scripture as it relates to Yom Teruah, except for the word Teruah itself. So we'll start there, and that's what we did as I was putting this together, is starting there. The phrase translated to a blast of a trumpet is from the word Teruah, which is where the name of this originates, Yom Teruah, or Day of Trumpets, or Day of Shouting. And I'm trying to get at something that I put in here earlier. Teruah is translated as shouting alarm or battle cry, a blast for marching, or a shout of joy. Shouting in Scripture is often correlated with joy and praise. Psalms 47:1. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a loud song of joy. Amen. Psalms 66:1. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Psalms 81:1, sing to aloud to God our strength, shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Psalms 101, make a joyful noise to Yahweh, to all the earth. And so You could go on and on. There's different ones. I want to go down to show you a word picture. Go to the 24, Hebrew word picture. Blowing the teruah, you see it there. The tav is the, it's from right to left. So if you see that up there, how many see the tav? Crossed sticks means sign or mark. Resh, a head, means the most important. Vav, you see the vav there. A nail means joined or bound together. And the hay sound is a window, means to reveal. The Hebrew word picture for teruah is the sign of the most important revelation. The sign of the most important revelation. So when you hear trumpets, the blasting, we ought to be ready to see what's being revealed. Be open to it. The sign of the most important revelation. So keep that in mind. I have a word picture. Skip one and go to the next one, 26. The word picture for trumpet or shofar. The shin. How many see that? Now again, that's from reading from right to left. The shin is a tooth, means to consume or Shekinah, the divine presence of God. The Shekinah, some say Shekinah. It's probably more Shekinah, but we always knew it as Shekinah. The vav, a nail, means to bind or tie together. The peh, a mouth, means to speak or blow. And the resh, again, a head, means what is most important. So the Hebrew word picture for shofar, the divine presence of God, is tied to the blowing, what is most important. So how many want the presence of God? I'm telling you, take some time this week, okay? 12 minutes a day, doing our 10 days leading to Yom Kippur, and expect the manifestation of the presence of God. That's what you ought to be expecting. And I'm telling you, it'll be something. It'll be a minister, just minister to your heart, and it'll do some powerful things. Now, I'll be glad to give this entire thing. I'm going to do some more again tomorrow night, but I'll be glad to give the entirety of it to whoever would like to have it. They can put it in print and so forth, and we'll have that ready to go for you when if you'd like to go through it, the entirety of it. Now, there are so many things that God wants for us, but there's something that we have to do as His people at these times, and that's we have to make sure that we give God the glory and the praise He deserves. If you don't praise Him on the glory He deserves, then there's always going to be a disconnect. Because if you don't glorify God, then He's not going to, because He expects that to be glorified. If you don't give Him glory, whatever recognition you give Him, that's that length in which He stays. If you want Him closer in His presence, you have to give Him the praise that warrants that. And that's very important. So what happens is we think we can praise, we can say something about Jesus and it gives the praise to God. There's a distinction between the Most High and the Son. And we have to give both of them the praise due their name. Do them. Now, I mean, you know that Jesus, that name given, the Yeshua, and we know Him as, most people know Him as Jesus. And the reason I have to keep doing this is because when I go somewhere, the people not, they have no concept of Yeshua. If I use that all the time, you don't realize I could be in a place and somebody asks me, who is that you've been talking about? Now, you'd be shocked, right? But that's just the way it happens. And so you have to explain it over and over. Now, we know Him as Jesus. That's what we've been. And how many know there's the Lord has honored the power that came with that? Because most of you got saved underneath that name. But how many thank God for revelation? So He still honored it because He made sure that. But see, when you have revelation, you understand it even further past. Because the name itself, if you look at the name itself, Jesus, there's no meaning to the name. We can't break it down and give you that picture. There is none. But Yeshua, I can break it down and give you the entirety word picture. You see that? Because that's how the Hebraic system works. So keep that in mind. Now, what I'd like you to do is tomorrow, leading up to coming and being in the service, make sure you go to the Lord and say, God, I just want to yield to you, because we're going to play it again. So you're going to get your second time tomorrow here. We're going to go into His presence. 12 minutes. 12 minutes. It don't seem like, but that's not long. But listen, if you don't get in the habit of spending that time with God, you know, if you're not in a habit of praying, you go pray in about 2 minutes, you're done out of words. You're trying to think of what to say. That's because you don't practice enough. You got to spend time with the Lord, talking to Him and just having a conversation. Because what is prayer? It's a conversation with God. You conversate with the Lord, and that's what He did it all the time. Yeshua would go off, He would go to the Lord and pray and have a conversation with the Father. So tomorrow we're going to be covering some of this. I'm going to ask for everybody to be praying. We believe the Lord has given us an opportunity to spend some time going and minister. And so we're going to take that opportunity. As a matter of fact, it seems like the schedule that is being set for us beyond what we thought. Sometimes we think a certain way and we say, oh, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this. That's fine. You could plan that way. It's not bad. You plan that way. But at the end of the day, it's whatever the Lord wants. And sometimes things will happen where your schedule is completely changed. And we're seeing God put ours definitely different than we thought. So I want everybody to be praying that wherever we go, that we can deliver the Word of God the way God has described it to us in His Word, without hesitation, without holding back to do what He wants us to do. Now, there's this, I want you to put up this next slide and put the title slide up. There you go. This is Hallelujah, yeah, and it's to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Now, what I've been doing is I've been going back over the When You Look Into My Glory series that I did. And I didn't realize I carried that thing on for so long, but it has 5 parts to it. And I didn't number them in 5 parts, but I found 5 different slideshows where I added to the slideshows 5 different occasions while doing that series. And so I looked at all of them, starting with the first one to the 5th one, and I didn't realize that it had kind of expanded that long. For some reason, I guess I'd done it over a period of time, I didn't realize that it was that much stuff. Well, some of the stuff in there, and I'm the one put it together, I had forgotten about those verses that I put in there. And I'm the one put it together. So I went back over and I was just, wow, 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 how incredible God is. So this is something that I think is important, and I'm going to run something by you. And I shared this with Brother Josh. I want you to think about this. The Lord reminded me of something this week. And this is the one thing I have to do tonight. Of all the things that I have to do, this is the one thing that I have to do tonight, is I have to tell you this. One of the things that you have to remember is the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. A person can operate in the gifts and appear to have the anointing on their life, but in fact, the glory has left. And that's something that we don't want to chance. Because you don't want to do anything without the glory. One thing about God that I understand, that nobody gave God His glory. If somebody gave God His glory, then it had to be somebody who was above God. The scripture doesn't teach that. The Bible says that when Christ returns, He's going to return with great glory. Great glory. So, does Yeshua have great glory? You better believe He's got great glory. He's going to return in great glory. Every eye is going to see Him. But nobody gave God his glory. His glory is underived. Think about that. Now, why am I saying this? Because that is what started this whole thing. What whole thing? This whole thing we have been in for the last several years now. That's what started it. Because the prophecy said, when you look into my glory, you will be instantly changed. So I started looking into the glory of God, everything I could find about the glory. I looked up the Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory. That's the manifest presence of God, even though you don't see it per se in the scripture. As that, when you look at the scripture, the word Shekinah is used to say that something's manifest itself. The other word for glory is the kabod. The kabod. Think about that. What does kabod mean? It means the weight. How many have ever heard this statement? He carries a lot of weight. Maybe it's a boss or something. What about God? I believe he carries so much weight, we don't have enough furniture in this building if we put it all together to hold God. Not the weight of God. That's the glory, the kabod. Then the other word for glory is doxy. Doxa. That means that's the Greek doxy. So, and carries with it, how many know that's the glory he deserves? We to glorify him with that glory. So, and going over all these things about the glory, the Lord brought to my attention something that I didn't see the first time. And Paul was making an address about the women and the hair being the glory. How many remember reading that? That the woman's hair is the glory. And then he reminded me of Samson. So I'm reading about Samson and how Samson was anointed. He was a Nazarite, and no razor came to his head. Because the hair. So I want you to understand that I went and looked at that because the hair represents something. It represents what? Glory. Glory. And so Samson, he got to fooling around with harlots and prostitutes. But he still had an anointing, and he still had a gift. I want to tell you, there's a difference between the anointing and the glory. There's a difference. There are two different words in the Bible. Two different words. Samson keeps fooling around and fooling around. He's got his head laid up on Delilah. And she's at him about it and at him about it and at him about it. And he's sleeping with her and they're not married. But every time she'd say, the Philistines are upon you, he would get up and break the cord. Still had the gift. Still had the anointing. But then she got to him and got his hair clipped. And he went to shake himself. And guess what? The glory had departed. And when the glory's gone, what follows next is judgment. And I'm telling you this because this stuff keeps me up at night. And I want to sleep tonight. I'm telling you this because you need to know it. And I don't have it in the series yet, but I'm working on it. I started a brand new series. Just going back over it. I'm telling you this because I want you to know it before I go and talk about it anywhere else. I want you to know that there's nothing worse in anybody's life than when the glory departs. The Bible talks about it in Samuel. It says that the children of Israel were in a war, in a battle, and Eli's sons were there, and they were the priests in the temple. And they were doing the same thing. They brought in prostitution into the temple. They weren't watching the Ark of the Covenant. And if you notice there was two things missing out of the Ark. I never noticed this before. But it talks about the things that was in the ark. The tablets with the word of God. The Aaron's rod that budded. And the pot of manna. And let me tell you, a pot of manna without the glory turns into what? A pot of manna without glory on it is not going to last. It's going to get worms in it. It's going to get rotten. And a rod that buds without the glory, unless you have the glory, which is its source, to stay alive, what happens? It shrivels up. So what I think happened, because they don't mention those two after with Eli's sons. You know, they got the word still. Because how many of you know the word? It's written on tablets of stone. But one day it's written on our hearts. Because it's the word of God. It's spoken. It's, you can't unspeak the word. You can go, I don't want to hear. Yeah, somebody trying to tell you something you don't want to hear? Oh, no, don't tell me. And they telling you the whole time. You think you could get it, but you hearing it, you go, man, I heard it anyway. That's the word. But those boys were acting up. They go out for war and they lose terribly bad. And they go back and tell Eli, I said, your boys are dead. He falls back and he dies. Well, Phinehas, this one son, his wife's pregnant. And when she heard the news, what happened? She goes into labor and gives birth. And what does she name the son? What she names the son? Ichabod. Kabod. Ichabod. The glory has departed. Wow. The glory has departed. Now, they had the gift. They were still priesting in the temple. And they looked, they was wearing, they all looked right. But we can't do without glory. So you can go on, no telling how long they had that ark without the man in the rod that budded, Aaron's rod that budded. No telling how long that went on. But we can see that there was definitely a disconnect there. And God says, hey, I'm going. The Ark of the Covenant was taken and brought to another location. And you think about that. Nobody here wants the glory to go. We need His glory. So how can you tell the glory's still there? You can always tell the glory's there by the Word of God. How true is the Word? And is there anybody who will humble themselves and repent and cry out to God? Because the glory, that's what it produces. There's an anointing, you can get all the chill bumps you want and the gifts and the charismatic way of doing things. You can get people to like you. But repentance and falling on our face before God can only be produced because of the glory that we give God. And the giving of His glory means glorifying Him for who He is, for what He's done. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And so this series here, I started it on a Thursday night. I had it in my folder. And on one Thursday night, I don't know, I come and I was so, when you teach, and I said, man, I'll start this. Well, I didn't realize starting it how big a deal it was. I think I gave like 10 or 12 slides. So it just was like an introduction to it. So this is something I don't want you to be praying over and thinking about. I will be covering all of these verses. I don't know exactly how many of it is, 100 verses. But it deals with to God be the glory and understanding the difference. Understand who created everything. And why did He create everything. So I hope that you understand that don't let the glory depart from your life. Don't let it depart. Maintain that relationship with God. Let me give you a couple examples of when the glory's departed. How many remember Adam and Eve? They were clothed in the light and then the glory left. What happened? Then they knew they were naked. You see, these are important principles that we have. Saul had glory on his life. And then he said he rejected him. And the glory left. David had a glory on his life. And he committed a transgression worse than Saul committed. But what did he do? He recognized, man, this glory is going. I'm in trouble. He fell on his face. Took his robe off. He took his crown off. He became a peasant. That's how he acted, like a peasant. No king. He got in the dirt. And he said, I'm not going to eat no food. What's the point of me eating to try to keep this body alive that has no glory? Purge me, Lord. Clean me. Wash me. Wash me with the hyssops. He cried out to God. He still paid the consequences for his transgression, but the glory remained. Never, ever, ever give up the glory. And the way you hold on to the glory is you have to honor him and glorify him. And you can't glorify him based on what you think. It has to be the glory and honor he deserves. Now, I want you to think about this. We don't have time to do it. No character in the scripture, including God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. No thing like that. No person in the Bible. I want you to think about a person right now that you would love to meet. All right? That you would love to meet. I know everybody wants to meet Yahweh one day, and we all want to meet Yeshua, but they're not on the list. Okay, think about a person. I'm going to pick somebody random, so make sure you got that person. You can blurt it out loud to me. Okay? Some person that you would like to meet. You always thought about it. You said, this would be neat. I'd like to meet this person and, you know, just introduce myself. And all right? Anybody, y'all got a person in your mind? Nobody? You don't want to meet nobody. I don't want to meet nobody. Me. I don't care about nobody. Does anybody have a person on their mind that they would like to meet? All right, I'm going to do one in each section. All right, Sister Kim? Alex Kendrick. Who's that? Alex Kendrick. Who is that? Who is it? Okay, all right. Well, I'm sorry, I don't know who that is because I'm just not familiar with it, but I'm pretty sure if you showed me, I'd know automatic. All right. So what was the name over here? Alex. He's famous now. And who got one in this section? I just told you no Bible person. Moses. No. Anybody here that you never met, but you say, boy, it'd be neat to meet that person. Chad. Jim Carrey, all right? All right? Elvis, all right. Now. Okay. All right. Okay, we got Alex, Kendrick, Jim Carrey, and Elvis, all right? Now. Some of you say, I don't know. Here's the point. If Elvis walked in, more people here would want to meet him, right? Because he carries a certain weight. If Alex walked in, I don't know if anybody want to meet him. I don't know. But anyway, maybe so. Because I just don't. I can't put a face. I'm trying to, but I can't. Did he play in something else? I know that. I seen Courageous, but what else he played? Fireproof? Oh, I know what you're talking about. We need to pray for him. He needs to be saved. I know exactly who you're talking about. Because he's a big proponent of Left Behind. So now I know exactly who you're talking about. Lord, touch him now. If he walked in, I'd pray for him right now. Say, no. All right, so if he walks in, he carries a certain, because you, from what you've seen, oh man, check this out. Look who just walked in. All right, Jim Carrey walks in, everybody's going to go, what in the world? Right? And you wouldn't like, I don't care. You go down, you would care, you'd be like, right? We'd all be there. We wouldn't get the phones out. We'd do iPad selfies. Did he? Right? Why? Why is that? Because that person and you being able to let somebody else know that you was actually in the same room with that person and you got a picture with them carries a certain wait. And they're just people. What about God? How much weight does he carry? Well, let me just tell you. You can meet with him every day if you want to. You can have selfie time with him every day. But the reason people don't want, he don't carry that much weight. Therefore, you rob God of his glory. And when the glory departs, it's not good. Is it helping anybody? Give God what he deserves. Give him what he deserves. Because we can have him on a daily basis. Is that not his desire? What was his desire on the first person he made? First person he made, what was God's desire? To be with him every day. This is what we do. We hang out every day. You think that desire changed? What about Yeshua? Do you think they hung out every day? Of course they did. What does he want to do with us? Same thing. The reason is he don't have that much weight in our life anymore. How many has ever been traveling somewhere and you've seen somebody famous? You've seen somebody that's a famous person. You know, I remember when Barack Obama came down here. Ain't nobody down in this peninsula like Barack Obama. They didn't like him. But everybody was at the road. That's right. Because the President of the United States, whether you like him or not, he carries a certain weight. And you respect that weight. That's right. You don't believe in all the thing they do, but because it's the President of the United States of America, you'll avail yourself to that time and that attention. There were cars lined up on this whole peninsula. They were. Zoom in, big old zoom, trying to get them shots. Why? Because we want to be able to show somebody, hey, I took a picture of the President. The weight they have somehow promotes you to a different standard of what people think about you. What about God? What about the fact that he's your Father and you can tell somebody that? You know why? We're almost embarrassed to talk about him because he has no weight. And where the weight's missing, the glory's gone. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. We got to get back to giving God the glory he deserves. Amen. Now we can go eat our snack. Because if I wouldn't, I would not stay up the rest of tonight. Because until his mandate's on, you don't realize how heavy that is. So hopefully we'll see that. Listen. How many know somebody that's in the church now, used to be in the church, whatever that situation is, that's struggling and having trouble right now? They don't know if they want to be in, out, whatever. How many know somebody? Let me see your hand. All right? What do you think that I can do to fix that? What do you think I can do to fix that? As a person, I can't do a thing. As a minister, I can only give you the truth. And if people give God his weight that he deserves, the problems all go away. We have zero problems in the church. None. Because everybody's going to learn to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might, with all their strength. The moment God becomes real to them, that He's the thing that makes my heart beat. He's the thing that energizes me, that I want to just go and I want to spend time with him. It all goes away. I can only tell you the truth. I can only tell you what's working in my life. God is amazing. I tell him every day, and I feel like after I'm done telling him, I hadn't done enough service. I'd never done due justice to really explain what I'm trying to say, to let him know how incredible he is. You start doing that every day, you're going to start telling people about it. You're going to want to tell, hey, man, let me tell you. So I got a call today from a guy that was broke down close to my sign out there. I got signs on my property and my number's on it. So he's close to the sign because I don't know who he is. He says, hey, I'm out here making a hunt and my motor quit. I see your stuff here, and I know you got people come out all the time. You think maybe one of you guys are coming out, they can get me in. I said, man, we're going to have feast day tonight. Now, this guy has no idea what I just said. I said, today's feast time, man. Huh? I said, we having church tonight. I said, I would come. I said, but man, I'm telling you, we're going to church. It's the time of celebration of our feast. Okay. All right. That's the first thing came to my mind because that's what I've been thinking about all day. Hey, I wasn't meaning to do that. I was just telling him the truth. That's what we do. It's Tuesday. Yeah. So, but it was the very first thing, and I was like, so I was telling Brother Chad. He said, "You didn't tell him that, huh?" So, well, yeah, I told him that. Because that's what was on my mind at the time. And I was like, man, I would love to help you. So I'm going to call as soon as we're done eating our snack. I'm going to find out if he's not in, I'm going to get him. I'm serious. I'm going to get him. I'm sure don't want him to stay out there. But I just couldn't think. I said, man, I don't know who could go get him. And I have no idea who it is. I know I have his number. So I told him, I said, I have nobody coming, but hold tight. If you can't find nobody, we're done with the feast day, I'm going to call you. So, I might be going on a rescue. Now, when I get there, I better speak to them about the feast. Amen? Praise God. So, we got some snacks in the back. Tomorrow, we're going to come back again. Don't forget to make your observance.